We come before you and we thank you for this evening that you've given us to study your word, to have fellowship with you, our Heavenly Father, and to have fellowship with each other, koinonia. And so, Lord, I pray that you would reveal these things that you want to reveal to us, teach us what you would have us to learn tonight. And God, I pray your blessing on your word, Lord. Anoint it, God. Anoint the ears, the hearts, the minds, and the spirit and souls of those who are listening to this teaching. We love you, God, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to take my text out of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. I titled the message, Our Spiritual Riches in Christ. In these verses, Paul amazingly looked at the work of each of the persons of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and he related it to you and me as born-again Christians. Three blessings that make up our spiritual wealth. The first blessing is God the Father. First, he has chosen us, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now we know salvation begins with God. Salvation doesn't come from man. John 15, verse 16. But those who are lost, they have their own agenda. I mean, they're not seeking God. What we know of God is in his love, he goes after those who are lost. Luke 19, verse 10. It's incredible. God actually chose you and me even before he created the universe. Does that resonate with anybody? That would mean our salvation is totally of God's grace and not on the basis of anything that we ourselves have done or could ever do. He chose us in Christ and for a purpose. Well, that purpose is to be holy and without blame. I mean, think about this. We've responded to God's grace because it's his grace that makes us willing to respond. Let that one sink in. I mean, I've come to the conclusion that as hard as we try, we will never figure out the mystery of divine sovereignty and human responsibility. What we know is they're both taught in Scripture. Both are true. Both are essential. Let me kind of put it like this. As far as God the Father is concerned, you were saved when he chose you in Christ in eternity past. But that alone didn't save you. As far as God the Son is concerned, you were saved when he died for you on the cross. As far as God the Holy Spirit is concerned, you were saved when you yielded to his conviction and received Christ as your Lord and Savior. Secondly, he has adopted us. The Father has adopted us, verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Notice we were predestined. But I also want you to understand that nowhere in the Bible are we taught people are predestined to hell. So you could take that one out of your thought process right now. The word actually refers only to God's people. Election refers to people. Predestination refers to purposes. So according to verse 5, God has predestined our adoption, and according to verse 11, our future inheritance. Adoption actually has a dual meaning, both present and future. Now, you can't get into God's family by adoption. You get into his family by what is known as regeneration. Regeneration is speaking of the new birth, being born again. John chapter 3, verses 1 to 18, Jesus and Nicodemus. Adoption is the act of God where God gives us an adult standing in his family. Adult standing in his family. The reason is so we can instantly claim our inheritance and enjoy our spiritual wealth. Instantly, the minute we became born again. Third, he has accepted us. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. A great illustration of this is when Paul wrote Philemon to encourage him to accept his runaway slave, Onesimus. Philemon is like Jude, it's only one chapter long. We read in verses 17 to 19, if then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. Now I want you to keep in mind the picture here with God the Father and his Son and us. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay. Not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Perfect illustration. The second blessing, God the Son. First of all, Jesus has redeemed us, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The Greek word for redeem means to purchase and set free by paying a price. To purchase and set free by paying a price. Now you got to remember, there were 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire in Paul's day. Many times they were bought and sold like a piece of furniture. But if a man wanted to, he could purchase a slave and set him free. Well, guess what? That's exactly what Jesus did for us. We are slaves to sin. He purchased us with his own blood and set us free. Secondly, Jesus has forgiven us. The Greek word for forgiveness, I like this, means to carry away. To carry away. This is what took place in the ritual on the Jewish Day of Atonement when the high priest sent the scapegoat into the wilderness in Leviticus chapter 16. So first the priest killed one of the two goats and sprinkled its blood before God on the mercy seat. The mercy seat was located on the top of the Ark of the Covenant in the holiest of holies, behind the veil. Then he confessed Israel's sins over the live goat and had the goat taken into the wilderness to be let loose to never be seen again. Are you guys following the picture here? In the same way, Christ died to carry away our sins so they will never be seen again. Psalm 103 verse 12 and John 1 verse 29. Third, Jesus has revealed God's will to us. Verse 8. Which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, this is where we're at, the 2,000-year church dispensation, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. I've mentioned before, here we are, the generation that's going to witness Christ's return. 99.9% of the entire church is already with Jesus. We're just the ones that are waiting to go. We're just the stragglers, if you will, to be gathered together in Christ. The Greek word for mystery, it literally means a sacred secret, once hidden but now revealed to God's people. You see, we're now able to share in this secret that God will one day bring together everything in Christ. I mean, ever since sin came into the world, everything's been falling apart. First, man was separated from God, Genesis 3, when Adam partook of that forbidden fruit, Adam and Eve. Then man was separated from man as their sons. Cain killed Abel in Genesis 4. People tried to create a special unity by building the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11. But God judged them and scattered them across the world. God had all the people talk in a different language, so there was confusion. Nobody could understand each other. That's where we got all the different languages we have today, at the Tower of Babel, God's judgment. God called Abraham and put a difference between the Jew and the Gentile, a difference that was there until Christ's death on the cross, which brought Jew and Gentile believers in Christ together to form the body of Christ. Sin is ripping everything apart, but in Christ, God will bring together everything in the end of this age. Things are getting ready to wrap up. It's exciting. Fourth, Jesus has made us an inheritance. Verse 11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. That's talking about the Father. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Think about this. God the Son is the Father's love gift to us. We, born again believers, are the Father's love gift to his Son. Amazing. The church is Christ's body, building, and bride. It means the Lord's future inheritance, are you ready for this, is in the church. Think about this. I'm gonna share something that's going to make your mouths drop open. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You know what that means? It means Jesus cannot claim his inheritance apart from us. Is that awesome? The third blessing, God the Holy Spirit. First, he has sealed us. Verse 13. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the scriptures, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, here it is, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The whole process of salvation is given right here in verse 13, the whole process. The lost sinner hears the gospel of salvation, which is the good news that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day, 1 Corinthians 15. Well, having heard that word, the Ephesians believed. It's this faith that brought salvation. They were then sealed with the Holy Spirit. You see, when you receive the Holy Spirit, it's immediately when you trust Christ. You've heard me say many times before that when you become a born-again believer, when you pray that sinner's prayer and give your life to Christ and receive that free gift, instantly the Father sends the Holy Spirit to live in you. This sealing of the Holy Spirit speaks of a finished transaction. When important legal documents are processed, they're stamped with the official seal to signify the completion of the transaction. Well, this sealing also speaks of ownership. God has put his seal on us because he has purchased us to be his own. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 to 20. This sealing also means security and protection. That's why the Roman seal on Jesus' tomb meant the same thing in Matthew 27, verse 62 to 66. So as a believer, you belong to God. You're safe and you are protected because you are a part of a finished transaction. Again, it just blows me away for anybody to consider that the church of born-again believers would actually have any part of the seven-year Great Tribulation when we are safe and protected, that God the Father paid for us and bought us through the precious blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. Just as a signature on a letter gives a genuineness of that document, the presence of the Holy Spirit proves the believer is genuine. Romans 8, 9. Secondly, the Holy Spirit has given us a guarantee. Verse 14. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory? In Paul's day, it meant this. The down payment to guarantee the final purchase of some commodity or piece of property. The Holy Spirit is God's first installment to guarantee us that God will finish His work and will bring you and me as born-again believers to glory. The redemption of the purchased possession refers to the redemption of the body when Christ comes back at the rapture of the church. Now, you've probably heard people say that our redemption, our salvation, is in stages. Well, let me finish with this. Redemption comes about in three stages. First of all, we have been redeemed through faith in Jesus Christ. Secondly, we are being redeemed as the Holy Spirit works in our lives every moment of our life to make us more like Christ. Thirdly, we shall be redeemed when Christ returns and we become like Him. When we get that new body and we put on the mind of Christ, that will be the final transaction. We shall be redeemed. All three persons of the triune God are at work in our salvation, resulting in the spiritual riches that we now have in God. You know, I think sometimes we forget who we are in Christ. We forget what God has done, is doing, and will continue to do for all eternity. And I can say this for every one of us as born-again believers. We are extremely blessed. We don't deserve any of this at all. But because God in His grace has chosen us, even before He spoke the universe into existence. I mean, can you believe that? That's incredible. That's how much He loves us. That's how much we mean to Him, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Every one of them working on our behalf, as they're bringing us to that glory that we will experience forever and ever. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for this passage of Scripture that totally explains the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the work that they do for us in and through us. And Father, how rich we are in You. We could lose everything we have in this life. Don't mean anything. We've got riches that are going to last for all eternity. And Father, we thank You for that. We thank You for allowing us to be Your sons and daughter, Lord. So Father, I pray Your blessing on those who yet will listen to this teaching, and that You would speak to them mightily, God. We love You, Father, and we praise You. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.